Nahj al-Balagha is not just a book of eloquence, it's a map of Islamic life and governance, from spiritual depths to political insights, from personal ethics to international relations. It reflects the multidimensional nature of Islam. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is the humble host, Sayyid Ali, here. And I have the privilege to be with dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Good to have you here once
again. It's a pleasure on my side.
And dear brother Sheikh Rouhani, how are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam to both of you, dear brothers. Dear brother Rouhani, in what ways does Nahj al-Balagha address both individual spirituality and societal leadership? Since nowadays we see global leaders or within those people, there is no place for spirituality and seeking these, you know, values. So, and seeking spirituality would list them for them as the least important thing they just want to follow or adjust their, matters accordingly. So, how does Nahj al-Balagha and Imam Ali in Nahj al-Balagha address, this issue or this problem?
Spirituality is the main concern for the nowadays modern people. And when we refer to Imam Amirul Mu'minin Ali alayhi alafu tahiyyati wa salam, we see that, of course, this Imam in his personal and private or individual life is a kind of role model for us. At the same time, in his social life, political life, again, he is the best role model. When Ali took power, he very openly and frankly told the people that it is of no value for me, the power itself.
Yeah.
And the value of this is, in that case, that I could fulfill justice. I could fulfill the orders and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I could do something only for the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this power is something valuable for me. If not, no.
Yeah.
So that's why this kind of ideas that this idea that Imam says that I only rule over the people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, radayatullah ta'ala, the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my personal interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
So because of this, I take the power. So when you take the power because of this, if your main concern is ridallah ta'ala, then, of course, you would see that the people would not accept you, would not be satisfied with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you prefer the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, orders, wills, and wishes over the people, then, of course, the people would start challenging you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened in the life of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
True.
And also in Nahj al-Balagha, in Imam alayhi salatu wassalam's life, we see a kind of zuhd, a kind of piety, self-refrainment from the earthly affairs, worldly kind of interests or benefits. This is also really interesting, that
yeah.
this level of zuhd that we see in the individual or personal life of Imam Ali alayhi wa sallam. Also, when it comes to ibadat, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wa sallam at the same time is man of ibadah,
mm-hmm.
man of worship.
True.
That is why both personal and individual aspect of the life of Imam Ali and also the social and political life of this Imam had lots of lessons.
Thank you.
Not only for the public, but also for the rulers, governors.
So we've been talking about Nahj al-Balagha and the role of Imam Ali as a poet, governor. So I'm going to pursue the conversation with dear brother Muhammad. So brother Muhammad, how can we introduce Nahj al-Balagha to the youth in a way that makes it engaging and relevant? Because when we talk about like books, classic books, old books, I mean, books itself, it's not really appealing for the probably the new generation. They are more into like movies, games, things like that. And if they are Muslims and preferably they're Shia, they would say, why I should be concerned with books full of letters about the war which took place more than 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
What would be your response to those people?
You see, there are many concerns you brought in one question, and it's difficult for me to answer all of them at once. But I'll try my best to see how I can encompass all of the concerns that you mentioned. First things first, with regards to how we can make it engaging for the youth. Now, on one level, you're talking about the media and the method of communication. Yes, of course, if The West, unfortunately, is spending billions of dollars in Hollywood to make fictitious movies like Captain America and Iron Man and so on. These heroes that don't exist, their equipment don't exist, their motivation is fictitious, and their entire, you know, plot is something that is made by the, you know, the imagination and fantasizing of one director.
Exactly.
And billions of dollars are spent in that, in advertising and brandizing and bringing it in lunchboxes, in bringing those pictures in.
People wait for hours.
Yeah, and they have school bags. The kids, they choose school bags of their own superheroes. Imagine how deep this is. If billions of dollars can be spent on that, why can't we spend, you know, deserving amount and rightful amount of money without israf for Imam Ali and the Nahj al-Balagha, bring it depicted in movies? What's the problem in that? There was a very famous movie developed by Mr. Dawood Amir Baghari and the serial of Imam Ali, which of course is a very good one, something that has been you know, revered by many people, both the brothers of Ahlul Sunnah and Shias, because he depicted it in such a way that it encompasses the books, the historic books of both the Sunnis and the Shias. More work. There's room for a lot more work. Making cartoons. There are a few, but not up to the standard. So all of these things are areas, unfortunately, that we are lacking. And this, we're talking about a personality that exists. It's a role model that is not fictional. That is a role model that has actual stories that happened in the history, not just fantasies of a person who just sat down and was thinking about some supernatural power.
Yeah.
These are like the
and the value system they present is
exactly so. It has the source itself is a godly source. It doesn't come from the mind and the playing of the imagination of mankind. It comes from God Himself. The waliullah and the hujjah of Allah is not something that can be taken that you know, as a joke. And so therefore, there is unfortunately it's the fault of the ummah, those who are stakeholders, those who have money, those who have power, those who have the media in their hands, those who have talents and so on. If they do not do what they're supposed to do in these arenas to help propagate the deen of Allah, especially depict the life of the noble imams, especially Imam Ali, then they're responsible on the Day of Judgment to answer.
We owe that much to him.
Yes, we owe much more. Yeah. We owe much more. We owe our lives, let alone our skills and talents. So that's one. The second is that the making engaging contents, you see, we always, unfortunately, this new generation, as you mentioned, they're spoon-fed. We have to, you know, kind of make morsels of food for them, ready-made, available for them to just swallow and move on.
Yeah.
That's how, unfortunately, bad this generation can be when it comes to, you know, being lazy. Why don't we ask questions the other side? Instead of contents being developed for those contents to be engaging and then pull the youths, why don't the youths themselves go towards the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt? That is also very important. We should not bring up our youths in such a... I'm not saying that the content should not be developed. Yes, I meant in the first point, that's my concern. Sure. It must be developed. But on the other side, now it's not there. The youths must also take a step in terms of trying to see what their role models, the people who they believe as godly people, who the people who they get their guidance from, what are they seeing? Instead of looking at footballists and actors and actresses of different movies
and
that
we
have
can promise that they won't be disappointed if
yes, definitely, already. Because they already rever them, they already respect them, they already have pledged allegiance to them. Once you have done so much, why don't you just see what they're saying? That's also very important. Instead of being spoon-fed all the time, take a few steps. Maybe one, you know, there are many programs and courses right now online. If you search Nahj al-Balagha courses, just one wisdom word a day at the end of Nahj al-Balagha.
Fair enough.
Wisdom sentences of Imam Ali. Very beautiful, and they love it.
Thank you so much. This is the question for both of you. First, I'll start with Brother Rouhani. What is your favorite saying or sermon from Nahj al-Balagha, and why does it resonate with you personally?
For nowadays people in our world, in the modern world, one of the things that apparently people of nowadays favor a lot is human rights. This is what you see. And across the globe, people are seeking this kind of equity among the people. 1,400 years back, we have a very beautiful saying of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam addressing Malik al-Ashtar in a letter. Say that those people who are Muslims, they are your religious brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who are not Muslims, again, they are your brothers in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to consider all these people when you rule over them.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that Imam Ali alayhi salam consider Muslims and non-Muslims as brothers for a Muslim.
Beautiful.
When they are brothers, it is more than human rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, brothership means something more than brotherhood, than human rights. That's nowadays sought by the people. So that's why this is one of the beautiful sentences that
it is really beautiful and meaningful.
Yes.
Thank you so much. For me, it's like the letter 31 in which Imam Ali talks to Imam Hassan, his son, and says, I saw you as a part of me, no, as my whole soul. If something hurt you, it would feel like it hurt me. And if you were to die, it would feel like life has left me. So I regarded your efforts as my own, and I have written this letter to you to guide you through the hardships of life, whether I remain alive or not. It's like as if our father, Abana, is talking to us beautifully. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much from both of you. At the end, we kindly ask our audience to recite the Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas for Sayyid Razi, the noble scholar who compiled Nahjul Balagha, if it weren't for his dedication and efforts to collect the treasure of wisdom, spirituality, and guidance, it wouldn't have been preserved for us to benefit from today. Thank you for listening. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها